Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love's Prophetic Cipher, the place where eternity speaks to the broken hearts of men and where God stretches forth his hand to mend the wounded. It's about time, so clear your mind, allow your spirit to open, and digest the lesson of the hour. I believe that God has a word for you in this place. Here's your host, Prophetess Sandy Love.
Hey, good morning, good morning. Yes, this is a Wednesday morning cipher, and it is my pleasure to join you on this morning. Today we have about maybe a 45-minute session. I don't think it's going to take that long unless God adds to what he's already giving me. But I will say that when I entitle this Understanding Who God Is and Who God Isn't, so to speak, you know, we have to always leave room for the Holy Ghost and for God to shift some things. And so I come and I speak as a prophet today. Not that I don't always do that, but I do need you to hear what God is saying. And it's not a doom and gloom type of thing. However, it is something to make you think. Is that all right? Let's go to a very familiar passage that you already know about, and that's going to be Jeremiah 29 and 11. And I'm going to begin as such. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you an expected end or future. Very familiar passage. We know it, and we know it to such a point where we quote it. I was raised to find out the whole chapter, and sometimes we need to go before, but let me first just say here, let me say this. Since COVID, a lot of things have happened. And oftentimes when I think the last time our world was shaken up was 9/11. I mean, 9/11 just took the world in a sense. Well, it used the U.S. and put us at a standstill. The difference with COVID was that it put the whole world at a standstill. And I can remember a day or two before we really went on lockdown and knew the severity of everything, I remember God telling me, he said, Sandy, he said, tell them that I said, put the blood on the lintels, on the doorposts. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm one of them. I don't really ask too many questions. I just do whatever he says to do. And we never knew that it was going to go into a whole year type ordeal. But in the middle of it, I remember saying, you shut the whole world down. That's not man. That's not a disease. That's not a happenstance. That's an act of God. You understand what I'm saying? Like, we keep trying to decompartmentalize how we say things or how we look at things. And so it's easy to say, well, the disease did this, and it's the president's fault, and it's the CDC's fault. And when we get done shipping the blame, who and what in the world could shut down the whole universe but a God? Now the question became, if this is you, God, which there was no doubt in my mind that's what this was, why did you do it? Why did you allow this to happen? We had the craziness with the election and the Capitol. None of that stopped the violence. And out of everything, I kept saying, God, what are you really saying? And I remember this. There's always a calm in the middle of the storm. Or in the tornado. There's always a peace. And I can only, you may not believe this, I do understand, but, you know, anybody that knows, you know that I'm not a liar. I don't make up stories just to make them up. So allow me, if you will, to connect the story to bring some light to it. Me and my family, we're military. We've been military for 20-plus years. And so we were stationed in Fort Raleigh, Kansas at the time, and it was our first duty station as a second duty station as a family stateside. And they had this strip, and this strip took you from Fort Raleigh to Topeka. It was a 2-hour drive, and literally there's nothing there on this stretch or this span. And there is like a little halfway point that you can find maybe a gas station. So you knew that if you ever got out on that road, that you needed to make sure you were gassed up, because there was nothing out there. You did not want to stop. There was nothing but rock and grass. You didn't even see humans out there. There were no houses. There was nothing. So you knew. So it's one Saturday afternoon. We had taken our family, our kids who were little, to the mall in Topeka to get away from the military base. On the other side of Fort Raleigh is K-State. And K-State, believe it or not, is, well, you should know, it's a college town. So there was really nothing for kids to do. If you wasn't an Aggie, then you didn't need a Philly P over there. And so that's why we went the other direction. But we just had to drive further. And I remember as we were the day or two before we set out on our journey, I had a very strange dream. And in this dream, I saw me and my family in a car. And I saw this hand, like, come out of the sky and just kind of held us up in the air. Didn't think about it. So we set out on our journey Saturday morning. About while we were there, we checked the radio, or really didn't have to do that. You could look at the sky. Kansas is a very interesting place to be because literally it looked like little bubbles, like just in rows in some type of biometric puzzle, if not. And so we knew that it was about to rain. And so we said, well, we better head back. And I can remember we were newly Christians, didn't know much about church or anything, and the rain is coming down. I'm praying because we got these two babies in the car. One was about maybe four and the other two. And so it's maybe they were a little older than that, but they were still like somewhere between six and four or something like that. And so we were just in the vehicle and it's pouring down. I mean, it's to the point where you can't even see anything. And the only thing we had to go for us is that we could stop under, you know, as you go under one of those bridges, and we just begin to kind of like stop momentarily thinking that it would die down. It just increased. Everybody that was on the road, which was not, of course, they were all soldiers because we were all going back to Fort Riley, and you could see the blinker lights going on and off. Then all of a sudden, the most eeriest thing began to happen. We looked up in the sky, and it was crystal. Listen. This was a circle, not the whole sky. It was a circle of crystal clear blue sunny sky. All you could see was sheets of rain beating down all around us. The sky was dark. It was such a dark gray area except for this one patch. And I began to say, oh, my God, because we had never seen nothing like this. And my husband, who was from Virginia, is a country boy. I looked to him for the Bible of instructions or direction. But he had never seen anything like that either. The roads had got so dark, and it's during the daytime. The roads had got so dark that we wanted a place to pull over, but we couldn't. We didn't know what to think. So momentarily, when we came to another bridge, we set up under there for a moment, thinking, of course, that this would stop. When we looked up, that one blue patch of crystal blue clear sky had seemed to hover over top of us while everything else was beating down. And we remember saying, if we don't go now, we don't know what's going to happen, because we realized that we were in the middle of a storm and possibly a tornado. We just had never been in one, so we didn't know. There were no really obvious winds either way, but we were just there. And so finally, after sitting there about 20 minutes, and it seemed like it just got worse, and now leaves were blowing and whatnot, we realized we better get to the base. And, of course, praying all the way down until we got to the base, we got into the house and just sat shaking to death. Kids were scared. We were scared. We didn't know what had happened. And it wasn't until later on that night, as I lay down in my bed trying to ponder on all of this, the dream came back to me. And I said, huh? I said, so what was it? He said, Sandy, I had you in the middle of a tornado. And in the eye, there is peace. I allowed the eye to cover you back to the base. And I tapped my husband real quick, you know, oh, my God, this is what God just said. You're not going to believe this. And we were, like, really freaking out, but yet we felt a sense of safety. And, of course, the dream was letting us know that he had us in the middle of the storm, but he had his hand around us. I say that because that was the scenario that he brought back to me as COVID was going underway. He said, Sandy, he said, this is going to lift in a minute, and what's coming next, they're not prepared. They don't even know that I have them in the middle of the storm where there is peace and there is safety. But in a minute, there's something else coming that should be even greater. And I remember as we were walking out past, and we came out of the George Floyd issue, we came down to the Capitol issue, and then we went through the election. And now, like many people, felt like we could breathe just momentarily. No, this is not about politics in the sense of Democrat or Republican. This is about understanding the time. And so since that time, one of the words that we all have been getting has been, this is the reset. The reset. And I begin to think even the more. I mean, I've got many things on the reset. We have a book that's coming out about it from different prophets. And the thing about it is that word seems to be enhancing. What does God mean about the reset? So now, here we are this morning. And I woke up early this morning because I did not put something in there generic, but I always leave room for God to speak. And so this morning, instead of me changing the title, I just got up. And I could hear him say, Sandy, I want you to go to Jeremiah 29:11. And I want you to read it as it is. And then I want you to go back and give them the history of it all. I said, okay. So as we are here today, let me first say this. He wasn't shocked or surprised. He wasn't shocked by George Floyd. He wasn't shocked by the whole riot on the Capitol. He's not shocked by anything. But sometimes we question why did this happen, or how did God let this happen, or if this was God that let it happen. And I guess it's time we put some things into perspective. I use this scripture because here God was giving Israel a promise. He told them, he said, listen, I already know, I created you, he said. This is what he's telling Israel. I created you. I know you. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and to bring you to an expected end. And I promise you, I'm not here to do you any harm. But we quote this every single day. We take the one scripture out of its context and we stamp it onto whatever situation we're dealing with to give us hope and encouragement. And whether or not we ever believe in God, keep his statutes, keep his word, believe in him or not, we know how to apply a scripture when it benefits us. But he says today, I want you to go back up a little bit and let them know what was happening. Let's go back to the same chapter in Jeremiah 29, and let's go to the fourth verse. This is what the Lord Almighty says, that I'm reading from the NIV version. This is what the Lord Almighty God says to Israel. Says to all of those I carry into exile from Jerusalem. Let me read it again. He says, hold on, if I need to go back up one or two. No, he says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build your houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives and sons and give your daughters into marriage so they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number. Do not decrease. Also, seek peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty God says to Israel. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord God. Number 10, this one says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my promise to bring you back into this place. For I know, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you an expected end. Listen, let's be clear what's going on here. Before we even deal with 10 and 11, God is saying, first of all, in verse number 4, he said, I carried you into exile. Jeremiah is living in a day and time where the people have felt their freedom. Like today, they feel their freedom. Nothing is wrong. Everything is good. It's all about love. It's all about universe. It's all about peace. It's all about what we want to do. We want to excel. We want more. And God told Jeremiah, you tell them I said, they don't repent. They don't turn from their ways, that I am going to send them into exile. This is all a part of that. There are a couple of prophets who come along. One is Hananiah, and he gives this fake prophecy and false prophecy that God was going to deliver them, that God was such a God of love and loved them so much that he was not going to send them into captivity or exile. And thus why you hear God saying to the prophets, don't listen to them prophets. Don't listen to those people that told you all is going to be well and you're going to have such a prosperous. And he says, do not listen to them because I did not send them. He says, but I'm telling you, verse number 10, when the 70 years is completed, in other words, I have a set period of time that you're going to go through some hard times. And when it's done, then afterwards, verse 29 and 11, then I will fulfill my promise to you when I said that I will bring, that I have plans for you to do you no harm. He's telling them to settle in their captivity, to have babies, and let their babies have babies. That meant that 70 years, that was enough for two generations to come and to birth out the next generation. Why did God do this? Well, let's correct the thing. God didn't do this. God permitted them to live their lives in such a way that it took them into captivity, meaning that it took them to a place where God stayed his hand. You see, sometimes God will allow you to keep doing you because that's what you're used to doing. And for so long as a nation, we've been so used to doing us, and then when we get in trouble and when we're hurt, then we sign God's name to it. But he said, no, I'm going to let you do you. I'm going to let you do you until you have, when you finally come to your senses and realize that I'm God. I come as a warning this morning. You don't have time to waste. God used COVID to get a nation's attention, to show them that they were not in control. Don't you remember all the prophecies that said, oh, this virus, it was going to be gone by Passover, which was Easter. But it didn't pass over, it stayed. Oh, it's just going to leave by the summertime and fade away like it never existed. But it didn't. These were the same voices that said Trump was not going to be, that was going to remain in office, but it didn't. And when it didn't happen, what happened was everybody began to fight. Democrat, Republican, black, white, injustice, out of justice. It was chaos. And we still don't see and couldn't see that God is in control. He showed us that everybody that said what was going to happen did not happen was a lie and was not from God and did not speak his heart and mind but spoke their own agendas. And we still didn't want to hear it. Churches who said, oh, I'm going to stay open, nothing's going to ever happen to me, died because they would not heed that this was God in control of everything. And so they died. Loved ones died, some of them not because they did anything wrong. In all honesty, it was just their time. And I know we don't want to hear that. I know we lost friends, loved ones, businesses closed, country shut down, all because God is saying, I am God and there is no other. I want what I want, and I'm not going to compromise. America, you say that you were born on my word. You say you stand for my word, yet you neglect the poor. You put babies in prisons and jails. You separate by colors, classes, and races. And yet you say, you are for me. And everything God is saying, no, you're not. And everything that has happened, show that you're not. So where is God saying? He's saying, like Israel, I sent y'all into this. I carried you right in the middle of the storm, but I still have my hand open, and I still got you in my hand for those that want to hear me. But now you must decide, am I going to do it God's way, or am I going to do it my way? Well, what does that mean? We have told you to go to college, fulfill your dreams, make your money. It's all about you and yours, and you refuse to feed the poor, the widow, the homeless. You refuse to help anybody because you tell them you need to get up and find your way. You forgot about your people, your class, your race. You forgot about how you got what you got because it is all about you. And you say God got you there. No, you got you there. And even your money is getting funny and your opportunities and doors are closing. Why? Because you set out for your dreams and you're not one time considered that God had a bigger agenda. And sometimes I think that we forget that Satan blesses as well. I think we forget that. And so we assume that as long as things are going the way that we want, and things are going in a direction we saw that they ought to be going to that sky. And God is saying no, because Satan blesses as well. And I am not in the position to say who is what and who blessed who. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here because God is saying this morning that despite everything we have been through in America, that God is saying, I had plans for you from the moment I created you. I had a map, a blueprint that I set out for you to complete. I'm not going to make you do it. I'm not going to force your hand, but I'm watching time pass, and I'm watching the world coming to an end. And so God's original agenda, he is still waiting on America to fulfill it, but America has become her own God and has erected other gods. So now the question becomes, where do we go from here? If you're listening to this, responsible for anybody else's life but your own, you're not responsible for America. What you're responsible for, have you done what God told you to do? What if in the case of right here, as we're reading in the Bible, see, one thing that's so beautiful about reading the Bible, people say, well, preachers are always trying to give their own interpretation, and they're always trying to read into the word. That's why we just read his word, because it is the map. It is the map of possibilities. In other words, it is possible for things to go and to repeat itself, because everything that has already happened in the Bible, it is nothing but a blueprint of what could happen in every generation that comes. Therefore, we don't need to make it up. We can read the word as it is and apply it to where we are. The other possibility is we have the option of choice. Either we do it God's way or we do it opposite. But either way, it's all in this Bible, and it all becomes a blueprint, or it becomes an outline of what could happen to us. So consider what I say today. Is it possible? Is it just possible that COVID shut the world down because God is trying to get our attention? Is it possible that we have not been going in God's way because everything that came out, every mouth that came out and said something different was proven to be a lie? So now what? Do we keep erecting the same voices to speak for God, or do we listen to the voices that are speaking to God, that are not bought out by fame, that are not bought out by wealth, that are not sitting up in corporations and clergy collars who don't care nothing about the people of God but their name? For in this hour, the reset is so many things, but the one reset in the house of God is this: I am raising up voices in the earth, says God, that will do as I say and say as I say. Which one are you going to be? When you get done with your money and your fame, and nothing, God is not against any of that, don't misunderstand. The reason that sometimes God even deals with that is because it is money that changes the hearts and the minds and the directions of men that say they once loved God and walk with God. They change, not God. They feel entitled, and they forget where they come from, only to mistreat people. But nonetheless, you have to make an individual choice. God wants for you and has for you. It's up to you. The days of you making excuses, I can't do it, nobody likes me, it's everybody else's fault, that's you. That's you making a decision to do nothing and blaming everybody else. I don't want to preach. I don't like the church. That's you making a decision, not even understanding that though your words have some truth, it's not all truth. It's filled with a lie. Because the reason the enemy doesn't want you to preach is because your testimony and your story will bring people to God and will change lives. But you're so caught up in your own headspace that you do not see that the devil is keeping you silent, has you on mute, and mute you are remaining. And not only remaining on mute, but your excuses are solidifying that you will not move. Let me ask you a question. I know what I'm about to say is going to sound a little trippy, but I'm military. So let me say it in a military way, but please get the premise of what I'm saying. If I have an army, and I've trained them, I've believed in them, I've given them their money, meaning that I've paid them on every payday, I've never slapped on that. They spent up that money. They provided for their families. They brought personal things that they wanted. And I am employing them to do a job. And in the middle of it, they say, I don't want the job, but I want your money. I want your prestige. I want your rank. I want to feed my kids, but I do not no longer want to do the job that you paid for me to do. Do I leave you here? For what? So I'm just going to give you money and not, whether it be a military sense or whether it be a or a CEO, do I keep paying you and you never show up? And I'm supposed to keep allowing your excuses to manipulate me, not to make a change in firing you. In fact, if you're here, why are you here if you're not going to do what God says to do? Oh, you want to be here for your kids, and you want to be here for your wife or your husband. You think that's why God put you here? To be a baby maker, to get on a job 9 to 5 and sweat and feel like a slave on a job. I don't mean that as in culturally. I just mean that, as I said it, a slave to a system or the rat race, what they call it. I'm supposed to leave you here for that. But you won't do nothing I'm telling you to do. You won't do anything. Listen, as hard as this is to say, the reality of it is real simple. That's why some people are going home. Because you will not do what God said do. Years upon years, He's been asking you, do this, do this, do this. I don't want to do it. I don't like the people. I don't like black folks. I don't like white folks. I'm not going to do it. I don't care. God going to have to come. He ain't going to make you. He heard you. He heard you so long and so loud. He's honoring your request and taking you home because you're not going to do it. Ain't nobody going to argue with you. He's God. Nobody is going to come down and pacify your insanity. He is God. You're picking the wrong time to fight a God that the enemy wants you to curse. You're picking the wrong time to fight with the God that owns the universe. You're picking with the wrong God who called and gave you life. But in the marrow of your soul, you are convinced to commit strife. You're calling on a God that you say that you love above all and anything in the earth. But then why does your mouth continually to raise your fist in his face as if it doesn't hurt? Listen, you guys, we don't have time to play. If you are still alive, every breath you take is an opportunity to tell God you're going to do it his way. Every morning that you wake up and have the activity of your limbs, you also give God the praise because you have no idea how long and when it may end. God tells them, I'm going to take you into captivity, but I also promise I'm going to bring you out. But I carried you in because you threw me out. You evicted me. But I'm going to stay with you. But you're going to have to go through this window of trouble because somewhere along the way you forgot who you were and where you came from. So I am. I am going to bring you out after 70 years until you've been humbled. 7 is the completion of, or the finalization, it means final, finalization of a matter. Well, you have finally come to the end of yourself. I can't speak for the world, and you can't either. But have you come to the end of yourself? You're always angry, cussing, swearing, and yet you say you love God. No. You love cussing and swearing and saying you love God. But you do not want to take the ultimate metamorphosis into change, into something else, in somebody else. Just take you as you are. Don't you understand that that is why the doors have been closing? Because you just want God to take you in the world, to take you as you are. You don't want anybody to tell you nothing, not even God. Why are you here? in a abrupt, abrasive way. Not this morning. Because, see, I too have been there. I know what it's like to struggle, and I know what it's like to hit this place and it seems like nothing is going right and you don't know your left from your right, your up from your down. I understand. But I also understand that those things may not be going the way that I want them to go and how they ought to go. The one thing I do know is that God is God. And though I cannot trace his end, I must trust his mind. And sometimes with tears in your eyes, you must just shut up and tell God, don't let me go. It ain't easy. I don't know what's going on. But God, please don't let me go. That's what God wants to hear. I don't know what I did, if I did anything, but I'm sorry, but don't you let me go. I can't deny your existence. I can't deny that you're God. And whatever's wrong, fix it in me and clean me up and get some glory out of my life. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity today. I don't know who you are. I don't know when you're going to listen to it, whether it be on Facebook or podcast or whatever. And I'm not concerned about that. My job, in all honesty, is to be the mail woman this morning and deliver the mail. But in all honesty, I feel where you are, though we may never touch, and though you may not never hear my voice. Question becomes this. Don't you want to do it God's way? Nothing is working because you've done it your way, but you have no peace. The mental illness in this season has literally, like, it has arrested you. And you keep trying to fake like you're fine. You're not fine. And you know you're not. But maybe it's because God is just trying to get your attention. And some of you, you've been using his name. And you know you ain't feeling nothing. But you can't say that. God wants something else from you. He wants the next level. And then there are others. Can't might tell you nothing. But you feel your day is closing. And you asking and bargaining with God for more time. But why should he give you more time if you won't change your ways? If you won't do anything different? I'm here this morning just asking you to consider what is being said this morning. I can get hype another time. But when lives are at stake, sometimes we got to slow the rhythm down so that people can hear, digest, and consume that God is calling out for you. God loves you. God wants you to have the best. Just as he said, he does have a plan. He does want to prosper you in every sense and stretch of the imagination to give you hope for a future. But baby, you got to come correct. You got to stop lying. You got to stop trying to get over and manipulating people and hurting people because you hurt. How about this? How about you get in God's face and you stay there until he takes the pain away, until he heals your heart in and out? So that way you don't have to hurt somebody and act like they did it to you when you know it was you. Because when you do that, baby, it's just double trouble because you just hurt somebody else, another brother or another sister, at the expense of making yourself look good. And you think, and though you walk away with your chin up and it look like you were good, you know God ain't pleased with your behavior. Because now you have put your feelings and emotions over somebody else's, and killing people, which is murder, is not a problem. In the military, it's funny because one of the things that always happens in war is what we call friendly fire. That means that I'm not dying because of what somebody else did. I'm dying because my brother, the one I trusted, the one I slept with, the one that when I slept with, not like that, but slept within the sense of a military environment. And we have bays and we have our own individual, whatever, but the people that I'm engaged with every day, that I thought you were my friend, and I thought that when we got in war, I could count on you. But instead, you killed me with no issue, with no regret, with no second thought. You murdered me in cold blood with your mouth, tearing down my character. You murdered me and thought nothing of it. And the world
they say you lied on me. But the truth is, just to lie is one thing. But to go to the extent to murder a character, to go and make up lies, and then to carry the lie, you have murdered me and murdered people, not me. Please know I'm not talking about myself. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. You have murdered people without fault and without conscience, and you didn't even care. All so you can look good. And then you're wondering why death is all around you, because death is trying to get your attention that you're next if you don't stop. Listen, I know this is a rough word today, but again, at the end of the day, I'm going to obey God. You better know it. I'm going to obey God, because God is not happy with you. Many of us, all of us, and including America. But God wants us to change our ways. Father God, I thank and I praise you that you have allowed us to gather this morning to hear the heartbeat of heaven. And it may have not been the heartbeat they wanted to hear, but it was the one they needed to hear. I thank you for the word. I have to eat it just as they do. But Father God, we come together this morning asking you to have mercy on our souls. Come together this morning, Father God, just repenting. And even now as I'm hearing God say, tell them I said to repent. So Father God, as I do this for the listeners and for the ones that may hear this later, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Father God, I have sinned. I've sinned against you, and you only have I sinned. Father God, I repent for my behavior, the lack of character, the lack of integrity, and the manipulation of people. I am sorry. I do love you. I do want to know more about you, but I was more caught up in being accepted by friends and people, and I thought that was more valuable because it was more tangible, and it was the thing that people see. I'm sorry, Father God, because I've never felt accepted. Therefore, I look for people's acceptance. But today, Father God, I repent in Jesus' name that I'm going to do better with the help of the Holy Spirit. God, lead me to a church or someplace where I can go and get the meat and the food that I need. And I promise, don't give up on me. And I promise I'll do better to the best of my ability for the days that I have left on this earth. But have mercy on me this day. In Jesus' name, amen. If that's for you, hit me up. In fact, I tell you what, you can email me at the end of this and give you some information. But if you just pray this prayer and you just want somebody to connect with and someone just to talk to via email or something like that, just be the one that says, hey, this was me. I heard your radio station. I heard the podcast. I like what you had to say. Nobody's going to know. Use a fake name. I don't care. But let me touch and agree with you. You can hit me at engage@sandylove.org. I know I got like a lot of email addresses, but that one should work. Or at the end, it's going to give you an 800 number. You can go ahead and leave me a message. Let me know. That for you. For you that are listening, it's to listen. Prophet, I hear what you're saying. I know that this is God. I don't know what to do. Am I okay with God? Am I right with God? Let's do it like this. Father God, in Jesus' name, just repeat after me. I rededicate my life to you. I rededicate my life. I know when I was a kid and when I was a young man or a woman, I did go to church. I did believe in the things of God, but somewhere along the way, I got off track. And somewhere along the way, I got caught up in the money, and I got caught up in the hype, and I got caught up in what I got caught up in, and I'm sorry. But if you would hear my prayer this day and accept my act of repentance, because I am sorry. I did lose my way. I'm asking, Father God, that you would help me to live again, renew my mind, in Jesus' name. Amen. And then last but not least, if you don't know God and you don't even know what I'm talking about, but you're feeling some connection and you want some peace in your soul, you want some peace in your life, then you just need to give your life to God. And it's real simple. And I'll give it the short way again. Father God, I hear about you, I've known about you, but I keep coming up across your name. And I believe that there's something I'm supposed to know, and I don't even know where to start. I just happened to listen to this, or somebody told me to listen to it, and you know what? I want to know more about you. So, Father God, I do believe that you are God, and that your son is Jesus Christ. I lift his name up and I exalt his name because you told me, you said in your word that if I believe in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, that I shall be saved. So I believe in it, and now I am saved. And from this moment forward, I'm asking God that you would disciple me, meaning teach me to learn about you and to not be ashamed of you. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So listen, this has been a little different time for us this morning, but it's what had to be done. It's what God wanted done, so we never apologize for that. I look forward to talking with you. I look forward to just catching up at some point. But until then, listen to me. Know that Jeremiah 29:11 is still valid. He does want to prosper you. He does have a future for you. He does want to take you and expand you, not just in the worldly things, but in him. So when we come out of this, and as we come out of this, and as we get our lives together for his glory, that we will be where we're supposed to be for his name and in his name, and that we will be the better person for it. Maybe got a little mixed up right there, but y'all get me. With that being said, this is Prophetess Sandy Love. Have a blessed and wonderful day.
Join us each week as we tackle controversial themes. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and not intimidated to speak on diverse issues, then please request us at 877-300-3883 or email us at engage@sandylove.org. To learn more about our causes, visit www.mazeyouthadvocacy.com.